Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Prosecutors say the suspect, Thomas Mortimer, wrote of marital discord. They allege that turned into domestic violence. Which will lead many of us to ask today, how does this kind of escalation happen? To talk about that and other questions, we turn now to Mary Lobby. Mary is executive director of Jane Doe, Inc. It's the statewide coalition of more than 60 domestic violence and sexual assault programs. Mary Lobby, good morning, and thanks a lot for speaking with us.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. As Monica reported, the Winchester police say they've never been to the Mortimer's house on a domestic violence call. There was no apparent history of it. How is it possible that there was a situation with the potential for this kind of horrendous violence?
It's hard for me to talk about this case because we don't know some things, but what I would say about that by itself is most domestic violence situations do not come to the attention of the police. Most abuse does not come to the attention of the public. This, in fact, even today, looking at it, is a very common scenario for domestic violence situations. And we know, for example, that there are reliable high-risk indicators. One of them is unemployment. It doesn't mean that unemployment causes domestic violence. And I have to say right now, it also doesn't mean that discord causes domestic violence.
But it can obviously create discord and create tension within a family, but not necessarily.
Certainly not necessarily, but it also suggests in this case, after the fact, that there were potentially other indicators of high risk for homicide.
What would those warning signs have been?
Was the victim in this case, was the wife intending to leave? Were there conversations about splitting up? What we do know from looking at domestic homicide murders is very often victims are attempting to leave. Have there been historical situations of the batterer looking at the odometer, constant questions about the whereabouts of the victim, very controlling in other sorts of behaviors?
Let me interrupt you there, because I want to make a point that isn't it, though, very difficult for people looking from the outside in to see these kinds of things? Maybe you can't see that kind of thing at all.
One of the reasons we don't see them is because we don't look for them. And one of the reasons we don't look for them is because we don't know them. I think right now, given the economy, which is what Jane Doe and all of our member programs have been saying for so long, is we need to have heightened attention to the impact of this economy.
So if you're in one of these situations, unfortunately, you're a family member in one of these situations where there is tension within a family, what can you do to decompress things?
Well, I think what individual potential perpetrators can do is ask for help, and that is a really important message to give, is if you are the person who is unemployed and feeling the stress of this environment, ask someone for help. If you are a victim of domestic violence or family member or friend, call a local domestic violence program. They have confidential, free, 24-hour services. That is the one thing we know that makes a difference. There is often nothing that a victim can do. That is the one person who can do nothing. The person who can make the difference in these situations is, in fact, the abuser or the potential murderer, unfortunately. But the community can make a huge difference. And what you're doing now, the media can make a difference by continuing to raise awareness about it. Who knows how many people are going to hear this and go, I need to talk to somebody.
Mary Lobby, Executive Director of Jane Doe, Inc., thank you so very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Jane Doe, Inc. is a statewide coalition of more than 60 domestic violence and sex assault programs. Mary has just returned from Washington, D.C., where she spoke at a national conference on domestic violence homicide issues.